Where do things stand 5 days before Election Day? For that, we are joined on the phone by Tom Jensen, the Director of Public Policy Polling based out of Raleigh, publicpolicypolling.com, their website. And you can find more news, numbers, and analysis on Twitter as well, at PPP Polls. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Good. Good to be with you.
So let's start with North Carolina. I know you're polling battleground states and key districts all over the country, and you recently did a survey of North Carolina. Where does everything stand heading into Election Day?
It's really a pretty consistent picture in North Carolina for president. We found Joe Biden ahead by 4 points, and the New York Times had a new poll out today. They had Joe Biden ahead by 3 points in North Carolina. So that's pretty much the consensus of the polls, is about a 3 or 4 point margin for Biden. And then the U.S. Senate race certainly does seem to have tightened some. We found Cal Cunningham leading Tom Tillis by 3 points, and the Times had Cunningham leading Tillis by 3 points as well. Earlier in the year, that was more up at like 6 or 7 points. So it seems like Cal Cunningham's personal difficulties have taken a little bit of a toll. But for the most part, the polls are still finding him ahead. So certainly the races in North Carolina, I would still characterize as being close enough that they could go either way. But Democrats do pretty consistently have an advantage in the polls.
How about the state level races? Obviously, the gubernatorial race, Roy Cooper's been leading for the entire election cycle. Is that still the case? And what about other races?
Yeah, the only intrigue in the governor's race is whether Roy Cooper's margin is going to end up being double digits or not. Sometimes you see polls with him up by 8 or 9. Sometimes you see polls with him up by 11 or 12. My feeling at the end of the day is that he probably is going to end up getting that double digit victory. We could have a lot of really close council of state races. There's a few where I think the incumbents are pretty safe. I think Elaine Marshall will get reelected Secretary of State. Beth Wood will get reelected State Auditor. Josh Stein will get reelected Attorney General. There's a bunch of races that I think could kind of go either way for things like Lieutenant Governor, State Treasurer, Insurance Commissioner, Labor Commissioner, Superintendent of Public Instruction. And because people don't know anything about the candidates in any of those races, they'll probably all break about the same way. I think sort of the generic result for a political race in North Carolina this year is probably a Democrat winning 51-49. I think all other things being equal, people will vote 51-49 for a Democrat, maybe 52-48 for a Democrat. So at that point in all those close council of state races, it's just a question of whether any of the Republicans have strong enough personal brands that they can sort of overcome that general orientation of the state.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, now Election Day is 5 days out. We're going to be on the air here on 97.9 The Hill beginning at 7 o'clock. The polls will close at 7:30. We'll get the early vote totals, plus all of the absentee ballots that have been mailed in early enough to be counted with the early votes pretty shortly after the polls close, and then we'll just be waiting for the Election Day numbers to come in, and obviously some straggling mail-in votes to count after that. But with that in mind, how do you expect Tuesday night to go in terms of not the national picture, but the state level picture? When will we be able to call the key races? Will we be able to call the key races on Tuesday night?
Well, so first of all, I think we'll have 4.5 million early votes, and those are supposed to all drop at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So we should pretty much know the results of the state right then. But one thing you and I will both remember is that, for instance, in 2016, it took Durham County forever to get its early votes counted, even though the whole rest of the state had counted just about everything. We didn't get anything from Durham till 10:30. So if something like that happens again, that's certainly going to throw a wrench into the mix. So I think we're going to have about 4.5 million early votes. And my guess is that because of that, by the time we get to Election Day, there's only going to be about 1 million votes cast on Election Day. Republicans always win Election Day in North Carolina. I was actually just looking back earlier this afternoon. Trump won the Election Day vote in North Carolina by about 20 points in 2016. And even 2 years ago, when it was just judicial races and stuff on the ballot, Republicans won the Election Day vote by 10 to 15 points. My guess is that Republicans are going to win the Election Day vote by even more this year than they usually do, because there's just been such an emphasis on the Democratic side on voting early. So I'm going to, I mean, this is somewhat made up. But I sort of have in mind that Trump might win the Election Day vote in North Carolina, that last million votes, something along the lines of 2-1, which would net him 333,000 votes. So the thing that I'm going to really be watching for when we get that huge vote dump at 7:30, hopefully of all 4.5 million early votes in the state and not leaving out Durham, if Biden's up by 400,000 votes or more, if Cunningham's up by 400,000 votes or more, I'm going to feel pretty good that they're going to hold on unless somehow Trump has an even better day than winning a million votes 2-1 on Election Day. And some stuff I think we'll be able to call the second all that drops at 7:30. My guess is that Roy Cooper, for instance, is going to be up by something like 600,000 votes when that early vote drops at 7:30, and that will not be something that's possible to recover from. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. But we really knew in 2016, the second the early vote dropped, that Hillary Clinton lost the state because she only won the early vote by like 3 or 4 points, and we knew she had to win it by about 10. And because there's so much early vote this year, I don't know if Biden needs to win it by 10, but I would sort of set the line at 8. I think that Biden, if he has won the early vote by 8, that's probably consistent with a close statewide race. If it comes in and Biden has won the early vote by 12, and if Cal has won the early vote by 12, that's going to be hard for the Republicans to come back from with the Election Day vote.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, again, publicpolicypolling.com, the website for more information and numbers. Where do things stand nationally? We've been talking about North Carolina, but that's certainly only one of many battleground states. What are you seeing?
Well, we talk a lot of the time about there being 6 key battleground states in the election that Biden needs to win 3 of. So North Carolina, as we said, Biden, we had up by 4 this week. We got out of the field today in Florida and Pennsylvania, which are 2 of those other key states. And we had Biden up by 7 points in both of them. I was not that surprised to see Biden up by 7 in Pennsylvania. There have been a lot of polls consistent with that. I was a little bit surprised to see Biden up by 7 in Florida. And I don't really think that Biden's going to win Florida by 7 points. And our polls, like everyone's polls, are off every now and then. It's very rare for us to be off by more than like 4 or 5 points in a particular state in the general election for president. So even if Biden is not actually winning Florida by 7, I feel pretty confident, having had him ahead by 7, that he is going to win Florida by something. So that bodes very well for him. Our most recent Wisconsin poll, Biden was up by 7. Our most recent Michigan polls, Biden was up by 7 or 8. And it's been a while since we did a statewide poll in Arizona, but I think that Biden is up by 6 or 7 there, too. So you talk about these 6 key states where Biden only needs to win 3 of them. The diciest one for him of that 6 is North Carolina, where we've still consistently found him ahead by 4 points. But those other 5 states, Biden is up by at least 6 points. And then 2 other states that we polled this week that I think are worth noting. These are what I call icing on the cake states for Biden. These are not part of his path to 270 electoral votes, but they're states that I'm sure would be fun for him and for Democrats to win. And we had Biden ahead by 2 points this week on polls in both Texas and Georgia. So it'd be the first time that Democrats won either of those states in quite a long time.
And just to kind of put this in perspective, I mean, obviously, and we've talked about this numerous times before, and as we get closer to the election, this will keep coming up more and more, that people are looking at the polls and feeling confident, but also feeling very apprehensive, because we went through this in 2016 where Hillary looked like she had a lead and then not so much. But what were you seeing at this time in 2016, 5 days out from the election?
What we were seeing was mixed messages. You know, we generally would have Hillary ahead on our statewide polls. We'd also be doing lots of polls for private clients and districts and stuff, and would be seeing lots of problems for Hillary. And we sort of just rationalized it to ourselves, well, she must be doing better in the districts that we're not doing these polls in specifically. Well, she wasn't. And it turned out that the district polls were kind of the canary in the coal mine. This time around, the district polls are also telling us a slightly different story than the statewide polls. But this time, the district polls are even better for Biden than the statewide polls. The statewide polls are good for Biden, But when we're polling at the individual district level, for instance, we did a poll in North Carolina's 9th congressional district the last couple days, which Trump won by 11 points the last time around, and we found Trump only ahead by 2, a 9-point improvement, and that would extrapolate to Biden winning the state as a whole by 5 or 6 points. And we've had lots of similar findings to that across the country, where Biden is doing very well in these district level polls. So I, at this time 4 years ago, was sort of walking around thinking, well, I think it's fine, but I have this other stuff sort of gnawing away at me. And this year, I'll just be honest, I think it's over. Everyone should go vote, but it's over. The presidential race is over. People should go vote because plenty of other stuff is close. But I do not think the presidential race is going to be close at all. I am expecting a landslide. I just had to fill out one of those little electoral map things, and me giving my honest projections of the universe ended up with Biden at 413 electoral votes, because I think he's going to win all the toss-ups.
Wow. How about the Senate race? That's going to be close, too, for control of the Senate.
The Senate races are what's more interesting, because it's very easy to get Democrats to 48, but then Maine, you know, Democrats are up by a little, but it's not over. North Carolina, Democrats are up by a little, but it's not over. Iowa, Democrats are up by a little, but it's not over. And the one thing I wonder about is if people, because they do think that Biden is going to win, might end up splitting their tickets to also vote for a Republican senator for the sake of checks and balances. Mm-hmm. One thing that really caused problems for Democrats in 2016 is people voted Republican for House and Senate to have checks and balances on Hillary, and then Hillary lost, so then all the Republicans won, and Trump was still president. So there's a very wide range of outcomes for the Senate. You know, there's a world where you can get Democrats up to 55, 56 Senate seats because the playing field is so wide, but there's very little guaranteed on that wide playing field, such that I don't think this is going to happen, but you know, it's not totally inconceivable to end up in a world where Democrats only win 48 Senate seats. Again, I had to just fill out something saying what my prediction was. So for my prediction, I said Democrats would get to 53 Senate seats, but that really is the middle of a wide range between they could end up with as few as 48 and could end up with as many as 57, because there are so many highly competitive Senate races this year. It's hard for me to think of another year where there were this many close Senate races across the country.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and as we wrap up, I asked about the timing for being able to call North Carolina. What do you think about the country? Some of these states were not going to get the absentee ballot count until later. Pennsylvania, I know, is one of those. But when do you think we'll be able to, or what do you think we'll know at the end of the night on Tuesday?
Well, the big things are that by the time North Carolina's vote drops at 7:30, we're already going to have most of the vote in Florida. And if it's clear that Biden has won Florida or North Carolina, he doesn't need both. If it's clear by 7:38 in these states that actually know how to count their early votes quickly, that Biden has won one or both of those states, it's not going to get called because they have to wait for the votes to actually get counted in places like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. But it will be over. Like, I'm comfortable. The Associated Press isn't going to, but if Biden wins Florida or North Carolina and that becomes clear early in the night, it's over, because there's no way Trump can get reelected without winning both Florida and North Carolina. And if he has lost even just one of those, it's going to be very clear that it's going to be a very bad night for him, or I guess a bad week, as it takes more time for stuff to get counted. But it's nice that Florida and North Carolina have the polls closed so early and count the vote so fast, because it's going to be very clear very early that Biden has been elected president if he has a clear victory in either of those two states.
PublicPolicyPolling.com, the website. Find more news, numbers, and analysis on Twitter as well, at PPP Polls. And tune in Tuesday night for our election night coverage here on 97.9 The Hill. We'll have Tom with us then as well. Tom Jensen, thank you so much, as always, for being with us.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.